I'm going to read a little bit from Colossians chapter 1. It'll pop up on the screens. If you want to turn to it, it's page 983 on the Bibles and the Pews. This is from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I don't know how you got on with those questions in your group. I thought we'd have a little think about them from the book of Colossians, because Colossians really is a book all about how Christians grow. Give you a little bit of the background. So the Colossians, quite a young church, and we discover in chapter 2 that a bunch of false teachers were around in town, and they were telling them that they had the real secret to Christian maturity. And so some of you might have just arrived in London and still be looking around for a church. I'm really delighted that you've found your way to us and joined us here. This would have been the Colossians false teachers' pitch for their church. It would have gone something like this. Come to us, because, you know, we've got the techniques to make you a proper Christian. We can give you the top tips. We can give you the spiritual experiences, your great visions from God if you come to us. Visions that will blow your mind, take you to the next level of Christian maturity. We can give you that something more in your Christian life you've been looking for. And if you're still deciding kind of where to settle at a church in London, you probably won't need me to tell you that you'll find plenty of other churches around in London that will be able to give you a much kind of bigger, flashier experience than we'll be able to give you here at Easton. So that's not to make any comment about the kind of great fun we just had. Thanks, Sam and Fran, for that. It was great. But lots of churches will be able to give you a kind of great spiritual experiential high. But Paul wrote this letter to reassure the Colossians that that's not where real growth comes from. He encourages us that we have everything we need already in the gospel, and that what we need to grow is simply more of the gospel. And so in verses 3 to 5, he encourages the Colossians that they'd made a really good start as Christians already because of that. So verses 3 to 5, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we prayed for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Faith, love, and hope. And those are the three key markers of maturity that Paul mentions across his letters. So they'd already grown quite a lot in maturity as a church. And where had that growth come from? We'll look at what Paul says next. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Now, I'm really not much of an expert on plants. And you'd be able to tell that very, very quickly if you came to my flat and saw the condition of some of my houseplants, which meant I had to look this up. Do you know what the fastest growing plant in the world is? Well, the Google search results... This one put its hand up. Come on, tell us. Go on.
Wow.
Look at that. We have a botanist in the house. Yeah, the Google search results actually were divided between two answers, pretty evenly split. One of them was bamboo. The other on the left of that image there was duckweed. So that's the horrible stuff that spreads across ponds. The one on the right was the one that really delighted me, bamboo, because I really love, I think bamboo is amazing. I love it. Big fan. Apparently, this made my day discovering this. Bamboo is in the Guinness Book of World Records, because one particular variety of it can actually grow up to a meter in a single day. Like, that's staggering, isn't it? You can actually sit and watch it grow if you had nothing else to do in your day. But that is explosive growth. And that is the kind of growth Paul says the gospel has. In the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you. The gospel is amazingly powerful. Look around the world, anywhere, you will see it spreading. And not just taking root in people's lives, but bearing fruit, bringing them to maturity. So that's what's happened amongst the Colossians. And praise God, I mean, that is the case for so many of us here this evening, isn't it? And the gospel causes explosive growth. And so what is Paul's big desire then for the Colossians? What's his big prayer for them? Well, it is that they would continue to grow more in their understanding of the gospel. That's what he says in verses 9 and 10. Let's look at it in reverse. So verse 10, that tells us the goal of his prayer. This is the outcome he wants, verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, growth to maturity. That's what Paul wants. Now look what Paul says is going to produce that growth. What does he pray, verse 9? And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And when Paul talks about being filled with a knowledge of God's will there, he's saying something much bigger than just that he wants the Colossians to understand God's individual plan for their lives a bit better. He's talking about what God has willed will happen in all of time and history. In other words, his big cosmic plan in Jesus, his plan for Jesus to be Lord and Saviour of the world. And we know that because that's exactly what he goes on to write about and explain in the next part of the letter. It is the gospel of Jesus. And so here's the bottom line of what he's saying. And do you want to be a fruitful Christian this year? Well, then get more of the gospel in you. That's what you need. Pray that God would help you to grasp more and more of the riches of God's will in Christ, what God has done in Christ. And that is why studying the Bible is right at the center of what we do week by week in these groups. It's right at the heart of it. Because the Bible, this is where God reveals his will in Christ to us. This is where the powerful, explosive growth comes from. It might not feel like that all the time. It might not feel like a really spectacular thing to be doing week by week, coming here on a Tuesday evening, studying the Bible with other people. Might be times this year when life is busy and tiring. And we just think to ourselves, is it really worth it tonight? It's going to make that much of a difference if I don't come, miss an evening. We'll stick at it. The Lord will grow you through it. Yeah, I love asking people at the end of a year of midweek what they've learned. Just always encouraging to hear back from the things that the Lord's been laying on their hearts, teaching them through the year how the Lord's been at work. I hope there will be plenty of times actually through the year where it will seem really exciting as well. Like the Bible is, it is really exciting. And we'll be studying through several Old Testament books this year. I hope you'll see it really, really thrilling, actually, to see how God's salvation plan is gradually revealed through the Old Testament, how that plan in Jesus develops, how the different genres of the three books we're going to be looking at, each different Bible genre, how it shines light on the gospel from a different angle, shows us the glory of Jesus from a slightly different angle. See, that's where Paul says this explosive growth comes from. It's from understanding the gospel more. But what can we expect maturity to look like? Well, Paul tells us that actually in the second half of the letter. So I just want to look at three verses from the second half, from chapter 3. This is chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. I wonder what thoughts you came up with in your grief about what a mature Christian looked like. I might be tempted to think that the mature Christian is just the person who, you know, turns up to every possible event at church, or who knows the Bible really well, or who can tell you their church history from Athanasius to Zwingli, or who can form, you know, sentences just stuffed with theological jargon. What does Paul say? Paul says, above all, put on love. Our maturity can be measured, in a sense, by our love for one another. We are God's family together. And so that is the really other big focus of these groups together week by week. They're a place for us to love and care for one another and support each other as we seek to live for Jesus week by week. And so, you know, it's really encouraging that some of you who are new to church have already been asking us about how you can serve church this year. I mean, that is a wonderful thing. Thank you so much for doing that. It's a great thing when you settle in a new church to get stuck in. There are loads and loads of really great ways you can serve the church here practically if you decide to make us your home. But we want to say, and we say this every year, the very best way you can serve any church is by investing in the lives of the people who make it up. To get to know them, to love them, to care for them. And most importantly of all, to encourage them in their walk with the Lord by sharing the truth of God's word with them. Because notice, part of loving one another, Paul says, is helping each other to grow. That's verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Over the summer, I was helping with a Christian camp and chatting to one of the students there, asking him about how he'd been finding church at university over the past year. He said to me, "But you know, I haven't found a church at university that I like yet. So actually, week by week, I'm just listening to my home church and their sermons online." I hope you can see that. That's not a sufficient way of doing church as a Christian. The Bible expects us to be involved, to be playing our part. It can be very easy to come to church with something of a kind of consumer mindset, come for what we can get. So here would be two good, but actually insufficient reasons to come to midweek this year. Here's number one. I want to come because I want to learn. Now that is a really, really good reason. I hope that is one of the reasons you want to come, but not enough. Well, how about this? I want to come because I want to make good friendships in the church family. Again, really, really good reason to come. I mean, we often say to people that midweek groups, they really are the best way to make friends and form deep relationships within the church family. It's one of the great benefits of them. Again, it's not enough. Because if we really love others, we want more than that. we want to come to play our part in the word of Christ, dwelling richly amongst all of us. And so that's one of the reasons you'll hear us say this a number of times. So we actually really encourage you to do a bit of thinking in advance before you come to midweek about the passage that we're studying together. Actually, one of the best ways that we can love and serve our midweek groups is by coming ready to play our part in the discussion. I know for myself, I certainly find it a real struggle to actually be a good group member and involved in the discussion if I've done no thinking about it beforehand. Which I hope, I know that doesn't sound a burden, I hope that's a really exciting vision for our midweek groups and what they're about this year. Now, our prayer very much is that they would be a place where the word of Christ dwells richly in us this year, as we each play our part in teaching and admonishing one another. Again, if you're new to town, I'm sure you've worked this out by now. There are so many different things that you could fill your time with here in London. Lots of really fun things, lots of great ways of serving the Lord even. But our big encouragement to you, we want to say, is that if there is one thing that you're going to put in indelible ink in your diary each week, or if you use an electronic one like me, maybe that kind of repeat reminder, repeat appointment that goes in, it would be meeting and studying the Bible regularly with your church family at these midweek groups. So that, together, we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's make that our prayer this year, shall we?